those who possess great accumulated merit and spiritual perfections have cultivated and trained themselves to an extent far beyond what we can imagine. How, for example, was the wealthy merchant Anuttapindika able to do what he did? He must have accumulated a great deal of merit throughout many existences and developed an abundance of faith, especially faith in the perfectly self-awakened Buddha. He had also encountered many Buddhas in previous lives, and therefore this faith continued to follow him. Chaga, generosity, relinquishment, and giving seemed to come very naturally to him, because he had seen the results of giving. The happiness, lightness, and fullness of heart arose within him. For this reason, he was regarded as foremost in the practice of generosity. Ordinary acts of giving are something that we can all practice, but to practice to the extent of becoming foremost amongst all male and female lay disciples, perhaps no one could equal him. He was truly foremost in expressing his faith through generosity. But we too must train ourselves in this way. We must train in giving. For example, when offering alms, even offering a single ladle of rice is a way of training in generosity. This does not mean that we have to give away everything. We give according to our means. Having given, we feel happy and full at heart. Even when the material value is not great, a sense of fullness can arise within us in the form of merit and happiness of heart. However, the society we live in today is largely materialistic. In such a society, giving is often regarded as losing something. For example, if we have 100 baht and give away 5 baht, or give 50 baht to someone else, then only 50 baht remains. In this way, we see that the money has really gone. Our wealth has genuinely decreased. The world therefore teaches us to be possessive and to accumulate things, because we are afraid that what we have may become insufficient. We feel we must accumulate more and more for ourselves and for those whom we care for and love. As a result, sacrificing and giving become increasingly difficult. There are also harmful consequences for those who live in this way. There was once a wealthy man in a certain district who owned a mango orchard, but he had never given anything to anyone. If anyone came to pick up mangoes that had fallen to the ground, he would not allow it. He was a person without wisdom, who did not know how to give. He knew only how to keep everything for himself and be possessive of it. If he hired someone to harvest the fruit, he was afraid that the person would cheat him, so he had to pick the fruit himself. He had planted rose apple trees as well, and he had to pick their fruit himself too. He continued doing this until one day he fell from a tree and died. At his funeral, no one came, apart from a few close relatives. None of the villagers or people living around his home attended. We can see that because he had shown no generosity and had never donated or given to others, no one thought of him after he died. By contrast, those who have done things for the benefit of society are loved by others while they are alive. After they pass away, people remember and miss them, recollecting the goodness they have done. The goodness of the wealthy merchant Anuttapindika has continued to be spoken of for 2,569 years. It has been remembered from the time he cultivated his spiritual perfections with the perfectly self-awakened Buddha until the present day. People have continued to speak of him from the Buddha's time right up to today. There has been no one foremost in possessing such a generous and self-sacrificing heart who could give as he did. He continued giving until his wealth gradually dwindled away. Even a dewa became concerned and advised him not to give so much. But whenever Anuttapindika gave, rapture and fullness of heart arose within him. Therefore he told the dewa to go and live elsewhere and not to obstruct his making of merit. Through the power of his merit and spiritual perfections, his fields later became filled with gold once again. This was merit that had been performed and had borne fruit in that very lifetime. Because the mind with which he gave possessed great power and great merit, the five kinds of rapture arose within his heart in overflowing abundance. His mind had also entered the stream of Dhamma. He had attained stream entry. His children and descendants also attained higher stages of noble attainment, including once returner and stream entry. Even with regards to his son, Anuttapindika showed great wisdom. His son did not like listening to the Dhamma, so Anuttapindika paid him to go and listen. His son wanted money to go out and enjoy himself, as young people often do. Therefore he accepted the payment and went to listen to the Dhamma. In the end, he saw the Dhamma. Instead of obtaining merely material wealth, he gained noble wealth. He no longer wanted external wealth. This also shows the wisdom of Anuttapindika. However, when his youngest daughter passed away, Anuttapindika became deeply saddened because she had addressed him as her younger brother. He had asked her, "Are you well?" She replied, "I am well, younger brother." Anuttapindika thought, "I myself am a stream enterer who has seen the Dhamma, and our family has faith. Why is it my daughter is not fully in possession of her faculties? She sees me as her younger brother." He became very sad and went to respectfully ask the Buddha for advice, hoping that his suffering may be eased. The perfectly self-awakened Buddha examined the matter with his knowledge and understood that Anuttapindika's daughter was a once-returner. According to the Dhamma, Anuttapindika had attained only stream entry. Therefore, she had called him her younger brother. When Anuttapindika heard this, he became delighted, full at heart and happy that his daughter had attained a higher level of noble virtue. Anuttapindika himself, however, had many duties and responsibilities. He was a leading householder, and whenever various events and ceremonies took place, he was always invited to attend. He went as a representative of the people, throughout the entire city, and so he had many duties and responsibilities. For this reason, he did not have much time to train his samadhi or concentration to an even higher level. This was because he cultivated his spiritual perfections on a broad scale. He was not an ordinary noble disciple, but a noble disciple whose way of practice was similar to that of a bodhisattva. We can therefore see that one benefit of giving is that it helps cleanse the mind and make it purer. Merit cleanses the mind. When the mind is at ease and we are happy, that merit arises from giving. Greed, by contrast, causes the mind to become defiled and gloomy. The more greed arises, the more agitated the mind becomes when we do not get what we want or when things go against our wishes. We can see examples of this greed in the world, especially in modern society with new technologies such as desiring mobile phones from famous brands. People buy expensive mobile phones and then pay for them in monthly installments. When they can no longer afford the installments, they may experience great distress. There was a young man in India, about 19 years old, in the area of Kavda Hill in Chhatrapati, formerly known as Aurangabad, in Maharashtra state. The story was that this young man had bought an iPhone and was paying for it by installments. When he could no longer afford the payments, the phone was going to be repossessed. He asked his parents to help him. When they refused, he threatened to jump from the cliff and kill himself at Kavda Hill. He went and stood right at the edge of the hill in an attempt to pressure his parents into paying the installments for him. The parents tried to persuade him for a long time, but he would not listen. In the end, his father went closer to him. Thinking that his son would not actually jump, the father somehow slipped and fell from the cliff. The father therefore fell together with his son. When the mother saw that both her son and her husband had fallen, she jumped after them. It became a tragedy in which all three of them died. This tragedy arose from greed, the desire to obtain something and the desire to have something better. Nevertheless, for these three people who passed away, may their minds have recollected goodness before death. May they be reborn in a good destination. We can also spread metta, loving kindness, to all three of them, wishing that they may be free from suffering and may be reborn in a good realm and a good future life. We can therefore see that giving is very beneficial. Its benefit is not limited only to our own act of merit. We can also spread loving kindness and dedicate merit to others. Merit is something light. The more we share merit, the more it increases. It does not decrease. With worldly possessions, when we give something, we often expect something in return. If we give a lot and receive only a little in return, we may feel that the exchange is unfair or unacceptable. It's similar to the relationship between neighbors. When one household cooks something, they may share some with their neighbor. When that neighbor cooks something, they may share some in return. This is an exchange and an expression of goodwill. In giving, there is a giver and there is a receiver. Each person gives and each person receives. In this way, friendly relationships are formed and strengthened through acts of generosity and merit-making. Merit is not a material object. It is something that purifies the mind. At the moment we give, the mind becomes lighter and cleaner. Therefore, we must continue giving. We should continue practicing and training ourselves without being reluctant to share merit. Sharing merit is like lighting a candle. If another 100 people, 1,000 people, or 10,000 people come and light their candles from ours, the light only becomes brighter. In the same way, merit increases even more. Therefore, we should make merit and dedicate it to those who have passed away. This is why many traditions exist for making merit for the deceased. Such traditions can be found in Chinese, Thai, and other countries' observances connected with the Sat or merit-making festivals. We do not necessarily have to wait for a particular merit-making festival. We can simply make merit and dedicate it to those who have passed away once a year or whenever we have the opportunity. Sometimes our relatives, loved ones, and friends with whom we have been connected through many lives and many births may be waiting to receive merit. This is similar to the story of the relatives of King Bimbisara, who waited to receive merit from him for an entire Buddha interval. In the time of our Buddha, King Bimbisara offered Veluwana Monastery but did not dedicate the merit to his relatives. His relatives became distressed, and their cries resounded throughout the royal city. King Bimbisara then respectfully reported this matter to the Buddha. The Buddha explained that his relatives were seeking merit. King Bimbisara therefore offered white cloth to the perfectly self-awakened Buddha and dedicated the merit to his relatives. His relatives were then able to be reborn as Devas, changing their realm and state of existence. We can therefore consider that some of our own relatives may still remain in such a state. This is one reason why these traditions have continued. We make merit and dedicate it to those who have passed away. We can also use such occasions to practice generosity by giving to those who are poor or in need of help. There are therefore various traditions, such as the distribution of charitable offerings, often seen during the Chinese Hungry Ghost Festival. Therefore, we must practice giving until greed gradually diminishes, little by little. We can see that in every society and in every country, some people do not give at all and are dominated by greed. Some people do give, but their greed does not decrease. They give a little while their greed remains great. This may be called making merit, but as Venerable Ajahn Chah taught, we may still not have abandoned evil or the unskillful. Nowadays, people often seek merit, but they do not seek to abandon evil. Therefore, Ajahn Chah taught us to abandon evil, cultivate merit, and purify the mind. We must train and develop the mind. The more peaceful the mind becomes, the more that peace itself becomes a form of giving. We are not harming anyone. We do not want what belongs to anyone else. We live with a peaceful and fulfilled heart. This is merit. The highest form of merit is mindfulness and wisdom. When we give without expecting anything in return, we do not suffer. If we give while expecting something in return, and we don't receive what we hoped for, suffering arises again. Therefore, we should give with a truly meritorious mind, a mind that wants nothing in return. Then the mind becomes clear, open, and unburdened. This is the highest form of giving, giving with mindfulness and wisdom. I therefore rejoice in the merit of all the faithful lay devotees, both near and far, who give and sacrifice their wealth. Even if they give only a little, they do so with delight, rapture, fullness of heart, and happiness. When we give, the amount is not measured merely by its external value. It is measured by the quality of the mind. This goodness, this fullness of heart, and this happiness, this is where merit lies. Whether merit is great or small depends on the mind with which we give. We should continue giving until giving becomes natural. When giving becomes natural, joy and fullness of heart arise. Samadhi, concentration, and wisdom can then develop. Eventually, greed can be abandoned. We turn inward to practice and develop concentration because we no longer want so many things. In this life, once we are born, we must eventually die. If we have much, we must leave much behind. If we have little, we leave little behind. Therefore, we should endeavor to train and develop the mind. We should firmly aim to make the mind peaceful and give rise to wisdom so that we can let go of the sense of me and mine. We transform wrong view into right view through the path of sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. This is a path that is not easy to encounter in this very lifetime. There must be a perfectly self-awakened Buddha who has cultivated the spiritual perfections to fulfillment, and then teaches us. The virtue of the Buddha is immeasurable. The virtue of the Dhamma is immeasurable. The virtue of the Sangha, including the Arahants of the present day and of the Buddha's time, is immeasurable. May we be firmly established in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha with strong, steadfast, and unwavering faith. Let us continue cultivating goodness until we encounter goodness and our hearts become filled with goodness. Or let us practice until we go beyond both good and evil, as Venerable Ajahn Chah taught, and enter the supramundane. We are capable of practicing towards this transcendence of the world. May everyone continue striving, cultivating goodness, and attaining success together. May you grow in blessings.